Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks? Before we get into today's episode, just a little bit of a PSA. I hope everybody's doing all right with this heat.
Yeah, if you're in Los Angeles, if you need access, hit your friends up. Like, this is no joke out here. It's like 111 or something like that.
Yeah, if you don't have AC at your place for whatever reason, maybe you go to a friend's house, you know, stay 6 feet apart, but you got to get down on that cool.
Yeah, we hope everyone's doing okay. It is very real out here.
It is very real. Anyways, hoping you're staying cool. It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
In case you haven't heard of us, we come at you 5 days a week with Clippers news. Thank you so much to all the new listeners of the show.
Yes.
And also for the long timers. Thank you so much. You guys are the real ones. We got a heck of a show today. We got to talk the Clippers loss, fall apart, collective.
It was a horrible first quarter is what that loss boiled down to.
A collective unraveling of the Clippers in game two. Of course, we're talking that 101 to 110 loss to the Denver Nuggets. We're going to kind of tie in sort of a recap of that game, as well as the adjustments that we're going to need to make moving forward for game three, which will be later today by the time you're listening to this. So we're going to kick things off as sort of like what we like, because there was still some good takeaways from this game. It was a game that we did win three quarters of.
There were
some positive things to take away. So we are going to be talking about that. And then in our second segment, we're going to get into a little bit more of what we didn't like. We're not going to try to harp too much, because the biggest thing is really just that first quarter. But we're also going to talk about some adjustments that will need to be made for the Clippers to come away with a comfortable win in game three. And then in shavings, this is Trez, sixth man of the year. Shavings.
Love it.
So we're going to kind of be talking about, you know, how deserved that award was, as well as just talking a little bit more about how pivotal the role of Montrezl Harrell has been for this Clippers team throughout the last three seasons. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We got to give a shout out to Built Bar. This is a Built Bar podcast. Go ahead.
Built Bar.
Munch on some Built Bars. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code Locked On, all capital letters, one where you get a discount. But yeah, so what we liked about the Clippers 101-110 loss to the Nuggets, I mean, the big thing, so I put out a poll on Clippers Twitter of just like, how is everyone feeling after that loss? And a lot of people commented on the resilience of the team, you know, like Clipper, like fans themselves were like, hey, that first quarter was rough, but time to move on. No one really thought it was going to be a sweep, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I got to agree. Like the resiliency and poise was good, especially, you know, with what, like, eight or 6 minutes left in the game. We did cut the lead to five. It did seem like for a moment that things were going to stay alive until we, for some inexplicable reason, left Gary Harris open after being on fire from three.
Yeah.
And he hit three threes, and that kind of sealed the door. But I do have to commend the resilience of the team. And, you know, like, just tying into that, with how much went wrong for us in this game,
it is,
God, I hate that I'm saying this, but it is still pretty impressive that we only lost this one by nine.
Encouraging loss was thrown out on Twitter a few times. Like,
and sucked, I don't know if I'd go like, quite you know. That far to call it an encouraging loss, but it was nice to see the team sort of, you know, regain its poise after such a first quarter, which is, we'll talk about this one we didn't like, but this is just something, this is a troubling trend that we've seen from this team all season long. And as I said up top, you know, we did win the following three quarters, which is encouraging, but it just wasn't enough to lift ourselves out of getting doubled up and allowing the Nuggets to drop 40 points in the first. It had been a historic
first quarter for the Nuggets. I mean, their splits were like right around 70 for both, but it was just crazy. One thing I really like in this game, Jermichael Green got quite a few run of minutes at the five, which we didn't hear anything about it really leading up to it. And it was like, okay, Doc, let's get it.
This was my biggest like in this. You and I have been going back and forth talking about how Jermichael has really only been a 13 or 14 minute per player thus far in these playoffs. He finished with 26 minutes last night. He had a team second best plus minus with plus +8 and a 9-point loss. And this, you know, with 26 minutes is not a small sample size. That's a reasonable sample size. Those are real numbers. He finished with 10 points on 4 of 6 shooting, just completely efficient. He snagged 11 boards. But I think, like,
team high on boards, I'm 99% sure, too.
It's got to be up there. I mean, you know, we've talked about all season how he is, like, just positionally such a great rebounder. This game, I think some of the great things that we did see from Jamichael was he was the only player, not the only, but one of the biggest threats to punish Denver for throwing multiple looks at Kawhi in the
for
paint.
Sure. That was difficult. Kawhi was getting doubled up and tripled up kind of near the end, which made things hard for him in the second half.
He was getting the Giannis treatment at times. Yeah. And we'll talk about some more of that and what we didn't like. But I think that Jamichael moving forward is going to be a key in sort of punishing the Nuggets for giving Kawhi this sort of treatment.
Hope so.
And Jamichael was just efficient all around. He had some brilliant cuts off ball, which, you know, like led to some easy buckets. The tipping.
Dude, it was unbelievably good.
Jamichael.
It was so good. He had tip ins. He had tip outs to other Clippers players. The dude just knows exactly where he's supposed to be and just gets there. Like, he's not the quickest guy, pretty obviously, if you watch the Clippers. But he has that deceptive speed, like where he just knows exactly where to be. So
he's every waiter's favorite guy.
Okay. Big Tipper. Yeah, we get the Big Tipper. We got the.
it was also great to see him in like sort of pick and pop situations. He's a great screener. I don't think that this is fake. I don't think that this is an outlier. I think it's time to ramp up some Jamichael minutes. I think it's time to ramp up some Jamichael play. I think moving forward that, yeah, this is, I mean, how many times have we heard the lip service Jamichael at the five, you know, working that out. We've talked about it. It clearly, I mean, it's been more on than off in my opinion.
Absolutely. It worked in this game
in terms of results.
Yeah, for sure. Marcus Morris continued to come up clutch again for the Clips. It was a little later in this game as opposed to kind of all around consistency we've seen. But in the second half, I mean, he was 3 of 7 from the floor. And he was the highest scorer for the Clippers in the second half, which is kind of a testament to how kind of rough things were going. No disrespect to Mook, because as we know, Kawhi didn't have the best second half. But, you know, this was Marcus Morris doing his thing to keep the Clippers in the game, which has just been the story of the whole bubble for him.
I agree. And I want to talk about this for just a second because, you know, when we made this trade for Marcus Morris, obviously I was happy that we made a trade. But at the time, to me, it felt like Marcus Morris was a luxury. He was another wing to add to the the embarrassment of riches that we already sort of have at the position.
And now
as we go forward, to me, he has become a necessity.
For sure. Could not agree more.
I thought it would be pretty up in the air as to whether we were going to be able to retain him this offseason. And I still don't know what that's going to look like, but I would say they need to do every damn thing they can to try and make that happen because he has proved to be more than a luxury. He's the perfect identity for what we want this team to get back to, is, you know, that gritty sort of hard-nosed identity. And offensively, man, he's just been superb. You're a superb manager. He was just incredibly efficient in that second half. Like we said, highest scorer. His gravity can't be underrated. And if teams are going to try to continue to, you know, double and triple up Kawhi and take away the paint from us, I think he's another one of those guys who's going to be key to punishing that sort of defensive scheme.
100%. What else did we like in this game?
So there were a couple other things that I was a fan of. I thought we did a great job on the offensive glass, generating second looks.
Shout out Jamichael. We had
29 second chance opportunities to, or second chance points to their 17. And part of that, unfortunately, is a little bit tied into, you know, some shooting woes. But, you know, those were good offensive rebound opportunities created by the Clippers team.
Yeah. Anytime you're creating offensive rebound opportunities, you know, you're helping out a little bit if you at least grab the offensive rebounds.
You're helping out the team. And then, so the other thing, like, the Denver bench definitely fell back to earth in this one. They had 40 points in game one as a bench unit. And then in this one, only around like 26. And there's a couple of things you can attribute this to for sure. Like, you could say that they weren't shooting as well. You could say
Jokic and Murray were murking us. So I think that also helped a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely a bunch of different reasons, but I'm going to say that, for our bench to, continue to stay somewhat consistent while theirs was falling back was a help. Though, you know, overall we would have liked to see a better performance in this department.
For sure. And then kind of our new segment to kind of cap off, you know, these recaps is, how'd Bev look? He's still seemingly on a minutes restriction. Shamit was subbed in, you know, after I think it was 4 minutes of the first, they brought Shamit in for Bev, which everyone loves. He only played 15 due to getting two of the quickest techs that he might've ever gotten in his career. Like, I know the call was bad, but damn, did we need Pat Bev down the stretch for this one? Would have been nice. But we have a voicemail, one of a couple that we got from this game, from dedicated listener, Step Back Tree. Go follow him on Twitter. He's a good follow. About
AKA Pat, Ben, good AKA dude.
Hey, Ben, very good dude. About Pat Bev's place in the rotation.
Yo, what's up? This is Step Back Tree, AKA Big Ben. And I'm kind of in a good mood after that loss, even though the Clippers lost. But it's mainly because I didn't watch it, so I highly recommend. And this might be a hot take, maybe it's not, but I think that Landry Shamet should be put back into the starting lineup for like the rest of the playoffs. Bench Pat. And there's no disrespect to Pat, it's mainly because Landry is a different player from when he starts and when he comes off the bench, and I don't know why. And the Clippers looked really good when he started, like game 6 and 5 against the Mavericks, he was really good. And when he comes off the bench, he just barely plays. And with Pat's minutes restriction, I don't understand the logic of playing Landry 10 minutes. I think Landry still has, you know, his shooting still has value. His decision-making out of a closeout still has value. You know, the offense looks good with him out there because he's not really a ball stopper. I just don't know what to do with Landry if he's going to come off the bench because he just doesn't look good. And Pat, you know, I think Pat will be accepting of coming off the bench. He came off the bench that first game against the Lakers. He did his thing that game. So I don't know. What do you think? I think Pat should come off the bench and Landry should start for the rest of the playoffs. Is that a hot take? Let me know.
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit in the preview of this series. Just with how successful Shamit had been with that starting unit, the way it opens up the offense. Pat Bev is a great offensive player, and he definitely has more tools, I would say, at this time than Landry Shamit.
100%. However, he's more efficient from three somehow.
As he's coming back from injury, though, I like this take. I got to be honest. I think that it was something that was working for us. And, like, if Pat's going to be first sub out anyways of that first unit, which we've seen, right,
yeah,
in the past two games, why not just flip-flop that? Why not just have
Shamit
start and then Shamit is first sub out for Pat or, you know, whatever you want to do. I do think that one thing that was interesting to look at in this one was how we kind of staggered PG and stuff a little bit more.
Yes, so, with the bench for sure.
Yeah. So a lot of guards didn't end up playing heavy minutes. And obviously you got to do that with Pat, but even Shamit and Reggie's minutes were kept low in this one. So I'm pro this. I think that especially while we're waiting for Pat to be at 100%, or even if we're just happy with what we've got rolling.
Yeah, if it's working, let's get the dubs.
My big issue
with this is that, I mean, I would love it. I think a lot of fans would. I don't see Doc ever doing this. And this isn't a knock on it being a great idea. I think it's a great idea, but like, with how much continuity stuff Doc has preached all year and how Bev has the playbook and all those other things, I think the way that Doc looks at it is that he is introducing possibly some unnecessary, you know, inconsistencies by like just flipping this thing.
No, I hear you.
I don't agree with it, but I think that's maybe Doc's train of thought on that.
That's right. And maybe that is the right thing. You know, and maybe that is the right thing from a coaching perspective.
Yeah.
You want the guy who knows the playbook. You want the guy
who's going to be playing in the finals and the next round as a starter anyway. So it's like,
definitely, you know, you want the guy who can defensively, you know, we didn't see it as much in this game, but generally speaking, defend the point of attack.
Yes.
And make things a little bit easier for the other defenders off ball. So I can definitely see the argument either way, but just with how good things were looking with Shamet, in my personal opinion, I think it merits another look. That's all I'm saying.
100%. We'll see if Doc's feeling feisty for game three. Things could get a little crazy. Who knows? Coming up, we're going to be kind of talking about what we didn't like, which kind of just basically bleeds into the adjustments we have to make for game three. But first, guys, I'm going to order at least one pizza tonight, maybe That's two, from the same place. And I always use DoorDash. Make sure you're using DoorDash. It's the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. They have contactless delivery. It's very safe. They're friendly drivers. It's very essential. Their friendly drivers will drop off your food. No contact. You can wave at them from the window. They'll give you a wave back. It's a good time. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app. Choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos and choose from your favorite national chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, and if you're feeling really fancy in this 110-degree heat, the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA, all capital letters, one word. One more time, $5 off your order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that is code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
All right. Thank you, DoorDash, for keeping the lights on. Now we're back. We're going to continue the recap of that loss to the Nuggets, as well as kind of talk about some adjustments that we're going to need to make for today, Monday's game. So let's just kick things off with what we didn't like. What stuck out to you, Chuck?
Here's a big adjustment that the Clippers could make going into this game on Monday. Don't give up another 44 piece in the first quarter. The first quarter is what went wrong for the most part in this game for the Clippers. It was, I mean, Jokic and Murray were just killing us kind of right off the gate. For the game, I think they both shot something like 50%+. It was pretty crazy. As a team in the first quarter, the Nuggets shot 70% from the field and 65% from three. The Clippers had six turnovers in the first quarter to the Nuggets one. And these were unforced turnovers. Like, so the Nuggets defense in this game looked a lot more locked in. There were some different looks we saw. We talked about, you know, they doubled Kawhi. They really made his second half difficult. He didn't score, which we very much needed. But I mean, it was the first quarter, you know, like I don't see the Clippers coming out this flat again. If they do, we're going to be having another discussion similar to some of the ones we had in those Mavs games. But this, you know, this loss didn't make me feel as rough as that Mavs loss, you know, like we won the three of the four quarters.
Yeah.
It was tough. But we have a voicemail actually from T Nautical, another good Twitter follow, talking about how, you know, the Clips just couldn't quite get over that hump.
Good evening, Locked On Clippers. This is T Nautical from Lincoln, Nebraska. And I am currently a Sixer Miller Lite. And according to this can of Dark Horse Pinot Noir, half a bottle of wine in right now. So here we go. The Denver Nuggets shooting 72% from the field in the first half. Really rough right now. That was brutal. But my big concern is the fact that Monte Morris, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, and Jamal Murray, we didn't really pressure them. The fact that they were so as wide open as they are, of course they're going to shoot over 70% like that. My big concern is the fact that in the second half, the Denver Nuggets were under 30% from shooting. They, the second best offense in the NBA, finished the first half at 72 points, and they ended the game at 110, averaging 18.5 points per quarter, leaving the door wide open for the Clipper, for a Clippers comeback, and we just failed to walk through the door.
Shout out Pinot Noir and light beer.
Yeah, what a mix that he's got going on over there.
I love it.
But yeah, it was just like it. I don't know. I don't know if it was an intensity thing. Obviously, you know, when Denver's hitting shots like that, it is kind of difficult. But
definitely,
I think this was a level-headed take from someone who's had a couple of beers.
Yeah, I mean, it was hard to see that we couldn't still get, you know, over that hump. Mm-hmm. Despite playing much better, you know. Here's the thing, man. How many times are we going to waltz into a game and let a team put up 40-plus on us in the first quarter?
It's very frustrating.
And that's the thing, right? Like, so you're going to hand a game over. I mean, you're handing a game over, what, 75% of the time you do that? Unless you also manage to score 40-plus. So it's – I don't know, man. I hate to say it, but I think that this is the team that we are. And I think that that sucks, but that's just where we're at right now. I've seen nothing to me that can indicate that this team is going to be able to execute at a championship level for the next three straight games. So I don't think we get out of this in five. I don't think we do. I think that we get out of this series because we are the better team. We're deeper. We have the better players, but it's not, I don't think we're going to win the next three back to back to back.
But so how many do you think it goes? Six?
At least.
Oh, I mean, it's either six.
It goes at least six.
Damn, you think at least six?
I mean, from what I saw yesterday, it goes at least six.
Even with the three quarters being won after that. You just
doesn't matter, man.
I see where you're coming from because, like, we talked about it in the Mavs series, right? Like, it's not fun or whatever when you're playing a bad team and they put up 40. We've seen, I think the Knicks did it. I think the Grizzlies did it to us. But there is that thing where it's like, okay, quote unquote, letting bad teams do this is such an easier hump to go over than letting the Nuggets do this, right? Like,
I agree, but
I see where you're coming from. I still believe in Clips and Five.
I'm giving credit to the Nuggets. Like, I got to give credit to the Nuggets too. I'm not just saying that this was on us, that this was our bad.
Oh, yeah.
Nuggets are a good team.
Curry shot great. Jokic shot great. Like, yeah.
But look, man, this is the second round of the playoffs. This is the semis. We still don't know how to come into games and win four quarters from the opening tip.
Yeah. I mean,
what the hell is that?
Everything you're saying is correct. Who do you think? So do you think that's maybe more on the players or maybe more
that's on
the
people? Doc. Who
manage, okay. I didn't want to put that too fine a point on it.
That's on Doc as a motivator.
So game three is where we're going to really see what, you know, we kind of talked about in the first round with the Mavs, like what this team's made of, but this is just another test, which I wish we didn't have to go through, you know, but definitely. Game three, the way we open game three is going to, it matters a lot for the rest of this series.
It matters, and we need to make a statement, and we need to, like, string together four good quarters of play. I just don't think that's too much to ask at this point.
And speaking of four good quarters of play, no free throws in the fourth quarter for the Clippers in this game, too, which that has to change in game three.
So, this, you know, there were some things that were out of our hands. I thought the reffing in this one was a little goofy.
Very goofy.
You know, Kawhi especially was taking a hell of a lot of contact, not getting a single call. And that's hard, man. Like, that's one of those things that's always going to be out of your control.
And he looked a little out of sorts, if I'm like, just from the defense, not like in an injury thing at all, but like we have a note in here too. Like, dude, Jeremy
Grant. He got shook on defense.
And Jeremy Grant.
He got cooked one time.
Oh, that was rough. And Jeremy Grant just still can guard Kawhi better than anyone else right now.
Yeah, so that's another thing we didn't like. I mean, Jeremy Grant has been very good on Kawhi. He held Kawhi to 3 of 10 through like 33 possessions.
Crazy.
So one nice adjustment that I have seen from Kawhi, however, is he did manage 3 assists in that time Jeremy Grant was on him. So he is, you know, he is getting better at passing, even if, he, you know, it is technically because he's being forced to do it in these situations. But it's still good that he can make the right call. I hope to see that more. And
that's where Green at the five helps, right? Like, that's where the spacing can help Kawhi so much. You definitely can't triple team Kawhi if there's five shooters out there. And if you're double teaming him, you're playing with fire. So I hope we see some more five out from Doc in this third game.
Encouraging thing, despite Jeremy Grant playing great defense on Kawhi, Kawhi refused to settle for shots. He didn't do the thing that he sometimes does where he takes more shots from three, even if they're not going in. He continued to try to get to his spots and play his game. They really did a good job of, like, keeping him off the elbows, and keeping him from a lot of spots where he likes to be in. But I don't know that they can do that. There's no way that they can do that before games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I hope that's the case 100%. And then there were some interesting Zoo takes from this game. Like,
yes,
Zubats, look, was first of all so hard on himself in the post-game presser.
As well he should. He got cooked.
He was just like, dude, I got to be better. We got a voicemail from Greg Williams, who has, I think, a kind of a bold take on Zubats.
Hey, guys, this is Greg Williams calling here. Hey, I got a take on the game tonight. One thing I noticed and stuff, I love watching Zubac play a lot, but tonight I just saw he could not defend a jump shot. So I think maybe something Doc should possibly do in the game is just possibly not play him. I don't know. I felt like they kept switching to him and getting the shot off. But anyways, that's my take. Thanks. I like you guys' show a lot. Have a nice day.
Okay. I mean, do all we right, really so just not play Zoo?
This is a bridge too far for me. I appreciate the take. And I mean, obviously, you were seeing the same thing the rest of us were seeing. Defensively, he was not able to hold his own. Jokic went 6 of 9 against him. However, one encouraging thing is he didn't record a single assist in this time.
That's a big thing.
So that is nice. And some of that, you know, like a lot of that did kind of happen early where Zoo was definitely trying to make adjustments on the fly.
Yeah. Which he's still not that good at. He's still so young that those decisions.
It also shouldn't be on him, man.
No. That's a good call. On him. Yeah.
If three coaches are watching Zoo get cooked, that's where you got to call a timeout. You got to help him with an adjustment, man, yeah. or make a substitution. Like, he shouldn't be in that position. He got cooked by Jokic. He got cooked by Millsap. And I don't think that he should not play. But, like, if those matchups aren't favorable, man, then you got to wait and put my man out at a different time.
Go 5 out. Maybe have 5 out off the bench the first time instead of Trez in terms of the center lineup. Like, he did need some help. And, I mean, he's had so many good games that just – Jokic was going to do this at least once against Zoo in this series. You know, it's Jokic. It's not like we're playing, you know, Jared Allen or something 100%. Like that, who's still very good, but not the same on offense. Like, Zoo, I think, in game 3 is going to come out a little more fired up and just kind of ready to give it to Jokic. Because this was a physical game, too. We didn't get as physical with Jamal Murray as I wanted, which is indicated by the fact that, you know, he hit a whole hell of a lot of shots against us. But I hope we come out a little more physical. Like, we just can't, I don't know, man. I think we need to limit attempts. Like, Murray had 21 attempts. Jokic had 17. We got to limit those a little bit. And that, again, goes to maybe getting some different matchups on the defensive end to help young Zoo out.
Definitely. And especially just early on, like, you don't want guys to get that sort of confidence in the first quarter of
exactly.
A game.
Like, going back with someone on Twitter about how, It kind of hurt a little bit to see a team absolutely kind of beat a team in the first quarter and then just ride it out for the rest of the game.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Maybe my favorite takeaway from Zoo of this whole thing is, like, he was very aware of what was happening to him. He knows that he's going to have to look back at that footage and look what he can do to improve defensively. Yeah. And as we said, you know, it isn't all on him, but the fact to me that as a young player, he's willing to take that sort of responsibility.
Yeah, this is my fault.
and try to work on himself. I think that's more than enough reason to say that he shouldn't not be played.
Yeah. Maybe a few less minutes, but we still need him to start the game. Who's taking the tip against Jokic if we're not starting Zoo? And then real quick, let's just do some. So game 3, Jokic is questionable with a wrist sprain, which, like, popped up super randomly. It didn't.
Yeah.
No one really knows when it happened in the game. I would be very hard pressed. I don't know. There's no way that Jokic doesn't play this game.
I agree. I can't imagine that he doesn't play. When you have an even series, I mean, unless you're really worried about future injury in, like, something that could be, you know, season ending.
For sure.
I don't think that you're benching your best player.
100%. And then, you know, I hope we take more threes in this game. We have to.
If they're going to continue to try to take away the paint, which they did, I mean, we still scored well in the paint, but not as well as the first game. But if that's what they're going to try to take away from us the most, then we need to be able to punish them from the outside.
For sure. What's your
28% as a team is not acceptable.
What's your quick prediction for this game?
I think Clippers come out ready to get a win. I do not think we fall to 2-1 to the Nuggets. I think if the Nuggets can keep up this sort of this offense and great defensive play that they had last time, I think that we're in for another close game. But I'm going to say flip-flop the scores from last time. I'm going to say Clips by 9.
Okay, I'm going to say Clips by like 5. I think it might still be a bit of a dogfight, but we've been punched in the mouth. We know what's going to happen. The Nuggets' new identity is just punching teams in the mouth and they can't recover. But I think this game 3 is going to be a big test. I think we'll be able to recover. I think Clips take it by around 5. Coming up, we're going to be talking Trez winning Sixth Man of the Year and how important he is. But first, Will, what health bar should I eat?
You should definitely check out Built Bar.
Hell yeah.
Built Bar is new and improved. It's even more delicious than before. It comes in 18, count them, 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. The great thing about Built Bars is they're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, which is very important for you.
Yeah, I got a bunch of fake teeth over here.
Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. They're great for the keto diet. 19-plus grams of protein. And right now, for our listeners, we got a special offer. You can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's all caps, one word. And you'll get $10 off your next order. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, real quick, just closing out with a shout-out to Montrezl Harrell for winning Sixth Man of the Year. Way to go, man. Well-deserved. What he's been through, especially recently, you know, his grandmother introduced him to the game. He talked about how she always had the hoops up. Lou Williams presented him with the award. If you somehow haven't seen the video, just go watch the video. It's just the morning team meeting, and then Doc is like, hey, Lou, I need you to grab something for me. And he just presents him with the award. And Pat Bev during the video says, you can cry. It's okay. And it's just good stuff. Trez, as you know, if you've been following the Clippers, is a huge part of the reason why the Clippers are where we are today.
Definitely. Still continues to help define the identity of this team, even 100%. Though there's like 3 stars on it.
Yeah. And he does it all from the bench. He improved kind of on everything we talked about from last year to this year. His efficiency, his free throw shooting, his passing has gotten better. And he's been unlocked by Lou Will and Doc Rivers. By Lou Will on the pick and roll, that was kind of when it first started. Doc Rivers letting him play that style, being like, this works so well, why would I stop this?
And using him to close games at times.
Yep. A lot of people thought he should have been getting some time when DeAndre was on the team, when DeAndre was looking a little... end of the road,
checked
DeAndre.
Checked
out's a good way to put it. But so, what's your year? His contract's coming up. Do we think the Clippers pay whatever they have to keep Trez?
No.
Whoa! What do you think the yearly max is?
I don't know.
$20 million a year gets a little crazy.
I love Trez, and I think it just depends. I can't put a number on it because I don't know how much the cap is going to be affected, and I don't know what we're going to have to do to A, keep money open on the books for next year.
Yeah. Bomber, where's he going to get the cash?
Right. we've seen even really wealthy owners tend to try to avoid the luxury tax as much as possible. So I do think that they're going to be, that front office especially is going to be looking towards the future and what they're going to need to pay to re-sign, both Kawhi and Paul George to long-term, very expensive supermax deals.
It depends what happens this year, right? Like, we win this year, the whole shebang-a-bang, I think they have a lot easier time letting Trez go. And I think a lot of it comes down to Kawhi and PG with their input, because they have to have some input. I hope they do.
For sure. And also, we talked about it earlier, but I would say at this point, Marcus needs to be really highly considered. And in any of our future contract negotiations.
We need a backup point guard for Bev too, so the team doesn't apparently completely dissipate into thin air. But I think Trez is still maybe second top priority to Mook, probably, is where I'd be.
This offseason, totally.
Yeah,
100%,
this offseason.
100%. Moving forward, he is such a big piece of the culture. And, throughout this regular season, there's no denying he won us some games. He won us games.
Of course. You know? Yeah. And when there's fans in the stands, he's such a giant asset as well. One Trez dunk, as soon as he checks in, anything like that, people are excited and it helps. He's helped make Staples a more difficult home court advantage for other teams to overcome, which, as we know, it didn't always used to be. And, you know, he makes Lou better, too, is the other thing to think about. We're going to have Lou, you know, one more year on his legs next year. I still think he's still going to be Lou Williams, you know, but having that pick and roll partner to just take some pressure off Lou, you know, I can't even imagine what the second year would look like if Lou was still the only option. No disrespect to Lou Williams. It's just too much water.
It's just the usage is really high.
Yeah. I think, you know, the popular thing with Trez is like he might get offers from the hometown Hornets. They're going to have some cap space. The Knicks have cap space. They don't know what the hell they're doing. So I feel like they're always kind of a wild card. But it gets to that debate of, you know, how much do you want to pay a guy who comes off the bench? And it all depends, I think, on how the team views what, quote unquote, the bench is.
Well, it also depends on, you know, what we see going further in the playoffs. I do think that that's going to weigh in on the option because, you know, while he has definitely won us a bunch of games, you know, this is a team that is built with one very specific goal in mind. And if he's not going to be in that same kind of closing position that we've seen him in before, I think it gets a lot harder to justify, you know, a big figure contract over a number of years.
That's a good call. He's still young. But again, all respect to Trez. He's going through so much stuff right now.
Absolutely. Nothing but love for Trez.
Nothing but love. If you've seen the horrible DMs that people are sending him, just, you know, it's just rough. That about wraps it up. Tuesday's episode, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory over the Nuggets in Game 3. Of course, whatever else happens down there in Clipperland. Will, where can these people find this podcast?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. You can also find us, we're pretty much anywhere where you listen to podcasts. If we're not, let us know at Locked On Clips, but you can also find us on Stitcher, Deezer, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or I've already said that one, Google Podcasts. if you haven't already, please subscribe. Tell all your friends to subscribe. Anyone whose team got eliminated that you're friends with, tell them to subscribe.
Make the clip
Maybe
flip.
Leave a rating or review. We really appreciate it. It helps us out.
Yeah, and when we post, if you follow us at Locked On Clips on Twitter, when we post it on Twitter, you can listen to it directly from that tweet, which is fantastic. Hope everyone is staying cool. If you have the ability to and the means, maybe drop off a case of water if you're in Los Angeles. There's been some tent cities that have been popping up because cooling centers have been shut down. They need water, you know. Drop off a case of water, maybe hit up Echo Park. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.